Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Talking Grizzlies free agency here on this edition of Locked On Grizzlies. Grizzlies signed two shooting guards, neither of which is Tony Allen. We'll talk about that and more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. After last week was a vacation, I told you guys that I was going to be gone, and I was, but I am back. I am Peter Edmiston. Hope you guys were able to make it without me. I'm suspecting you probably were, but I missed you. I missed talking to you, and I missed talking to you about lots of cool stuff because this time of year is crazy, and you will see lots more Locked On Grizzlies, especially as situation warrants. And this certainly does. The Grizzlies very busy. Well, very busy, maybe a little bit of a stretch, but busy enough, at least, over the last few days to warrant some discussion. The Grizzlies with two signings we're going to talk about here. But first, I want to talk about Outdoors, Inc. Wonderful folks at Outdoors, Inc. And man, I tell you what, after spending a lot of time outdoors on my vacation, just goes to show you how important it is to get the gear that you need to go outdoors. Here's one of the cool things that that I happen to kind of wear and abuse and use: sandals. We were on the beach, so I was hard on these sandals, man. We were on the beach, we were hiking, we were going through all this stuff, and I love sandals. It's what I do. I'm either, you know, barefoot most time in my house, or if I'm out, I like to wear minimal footwear. And you can get some amazing sandals, amazing footwear. And particularly for those of you that are hiking, going outdoors, you can find some great, light, really flexible stuff that's perfect for your feet. If you're going to be doing a lot of beach walking, you can get some great flip-flops, some great sandals that are perfect for that. All of that at Outdoors, Inc. It's really cool. And if you go online to shop, you can use the promo code LOGRIZZLIES and save 10%. They've got 5 stores around the Memphis area, Jackson as well. It's a perfect place for you to make, well, you know, something fun out of that outdoors trip that you're going to be doing maybe over the 4th here the next day or two. Maybe you're heading out somewhere today, tomorrow. Look, get comfortable. And if you're going to go hiking, you're going to go kayaking, you're going to go biking, any of that stuff, Outdoors Inc. is your place. Get to know it. And if you're in the Memphis area, man, you have got to be all over Outdoors Inc. And you got to be all over, you know, their great locations. And especially on their website now. I mean, go to OutdoorsInc.com and you can start to shop and make it super easy for you. LO Grizzlies, that promo code saves you 10%. Great people over at Outdoors Inc. For the Grizzlies, there's still many, 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 many questions left to answer. They started answering a few of them, though, with the signings that we saw. Most notably, Sunday night, Ben McLemore reportedly signing a deal with the Grizzlies. 2 years, fully guaranteed. $10.7 million. The significance of that being that is the taxpayer mid-level exception. Now, had the Grizzlies used the non-taxpayer, the full mid-level exception of $8.4 million, that would have hard-capped them because of the CBA. So it would have hard-capped them at the apron, meaning that they could not exceed $127 million in salary. Now, that probably would not have been an issue for the Grizzlies, you know, but just to keep your flexibility and to make sure that there, if something weird happens or some crazy opportunity or whatever, to give you that opportunity to use that. The Grizzlies, I think, were reluctant to use that full mid-level, particularly if they didn't feel like they were going to get a player that would be worth it. So Ben McLemore into the taxpayer mid-level exception slot. To me, this is probably too much money for McLemore, but you can understand where the Grizzlies are coming from in the attempt to sign him. if that makes any sense. The idea behind him is good. And McLemore has always been a player where the whole is less than the sum of his parts. You know, he has great physical gifts. He's got good size for his position at 6'4", 6'5". You know, physically very strong looking, strong playing guy, very athletic. All those things are good. But you know, when you see them in action, when it all kind of comes together as a player, it's just not, it's not anywhere close to what you would expect. And that's been the case throughout his whole career. I mean, he's not that young. 24 is young in, you know, normal person standards. But in the NBA, by the time you get to 24, you've pretty well established yourself as the kind of player that you are for the most part. If you are a guy that came into the league at the normal rookie year, 19, 20, 21, by the time you get to 24, you are pretty much established, maybe a little more room to improve, but not a ton. And McLemore, while he's been in a dysfunctional organization in Sacramento, has played. And he's played in different styles and different systems, different setups. And it just has not, it has not ever really looked like working. So, you know, if you attribute a lot of the problems that McLemore has had in his development simply to playing in Sacramento and playing in a bad system, playing for many, many coaches, he's had four coaches in his 4 years. He's had, you know, different front office people. He's had the Boogie situation. All of that stuff, you know, probably didn't help. And if you think that all of that was the reason why things were so detrimental, then you roll the dice and you hope that you get him out of that, and he all of a sudden becomes a much more productive player. I don't really expect that. I don't see it that way. You know, I think the skills that he can provide. He was a good spot-up shooter last year. That is helpful. He would have been the third best per synergy. He would have been the third best spot-up shooter for the Grizzlies last year. So that's a good sign. You know, he was good in transition, which, you know, the Grizzlies can always use more guys that can finish in transition, especially as David Fizdale wants to speed things up. So that's good. But if you look a little deeper, then the problems start to emerge. First of all, he doesn't play defense. He's not a good defender at all. He doesn't. You know, he just doesn't play. He's not a great basketball player. The feel for the game is just not really there with him. And you know, that's part of the problem, is that he can't dribble. You know, his dribbling is always been something that he's had problems with. He can't create off the dribble. He can't, you know, as a pick and roll, like, you know, secondary ball handler type guy, you're just not getting anything from him. So, you know, he can be a little bit of a ball stopper out there, or can be pretty limited in what he could do. And if a guy can just be out there, and yeah, he can't dribble, but if he could just be a lights out, you know, big time shooter, then okay, no problem. You can put him out there and that can be his role and it's fine. But he's not that. He improved as a shooter last year and was better after the All-Star break, was better after the Boogie trade, but you know, his attempts went down in the process. He shot better from three, but his attempts went down. And then the team as a whole, you know, Sacramento was the best 3-point shooting team in the league after the All-Star break last year, but it was on a very low number of attempts. And you know, that's not really going to end up being all that helpful for you at the end of the day. You need somebody that can give you a little volume in addition to being able to hit it. So you know, that's the issue with McLemore. Yeah, I think as a relatively low risk, you know, 2 years, you know, that's fine. It's not a deal that's going to hamper you, and it's a fairly low risk gamble on a young guy. And the Grizzlies do need young talent. There's no question they do. So that aspect of it is understandable and is noteworthy and good. It's just that, you know, I would have thought and would have expected that there could have been better players in the market. The market for McLemore would have not necessitated paying that much at this point in time. And then for what it means going forward, because here's the other thing. Wayne Selden signs a 2-year deal with the Grizzlies earlier this weekend as well. He had a non-guaranteed deal that I assume that they just declined and then re-signed him to a new deal. But, you know, I don't know how much is guaranteed on this deal either. I don't think it's not fully guaranteed. And, you know, there could be any number of outs in that. It's 2 years basically at the minimum. But, you know, the Grizzlies clearly liked what they saw from Seldon in the time that he was able to shine, and he had a lot more opportunity than most people would have imagined, given how he ended up making it. But he's another Kansas guy, Ben McLemore. Chris Wallace loves those Kansas players. You play for Kansas, buddy, you are on Chris Wallace's radar in a big-time way. So Seldon comes back, which means, again, you've got two shooting guards that sign. You've got Seldon, you've got McLemore. You are rapidly, and I think it's becoming pretty clear, that you have run out of room for Tony Allen. We talked about the fact that Tony reportedly was only going to be offered the veterans minimum from the Grizzlies, and I would imagine that's still the case, especially now if you look at the salaries and look at what they have committed to. You've also got a couple of guys in the wings that are kind of sniffing around those spots, and particularly with depending on where you want to put Dylan Brooks as a wing and how big you want to play and what position he wants. I mean, you're just starting to run out of time and run out of options for Tony. And so I think you have to start coming to grips, if you are a big Tony Allen fan, with the fact that he's probably not going to be a Memphis Grizzly. And, I think the Grizzlies have kind of been making that clear a little bit with the things that have been coming out. And with these moves, I think it becomes more and more clear. The numbers crunch starts to hit at some point. You also have the two-way contract sign for Kobe Simmons. And, Kobe Simmons out of Arizona, pretty disappointing freshman, very much all potential at this point. The actual production is very, very bad. But, he is a super high potential type guy, and it's certainly enough to take a bit of a flyer on. And, Simmons is that. He's the first Grizzly two-way player. And just as a clarification for those that want to know, the way this thing works, two-way players, typically you have 15 players on the NBA roster. You have a maximum of 15 and a minimum now of 14. So, each team's going to have to carry, more players this year than they did in years past. But the two-way players can be spots 16 and 17 as needed. Now, that means when you sign the two-way deal, you're not really a Memphis Grizzly. You're part of the organization, sure, but for the most part, you're going to be playing for the hustle. You're going to be playing for the G League team. And you get up to 45 days, not consecutively necessarily, just 45 days total, that you can spend with the main team as part of that two-way deal. That's the two-way part. And then you're 16 and 17 on the roster as you are called up. And the way the contract is structured, they call it two-way because it's a two different contracts kind of squeezed into one. When you are playing for the G League team, you are paid as a G League, typical G League contract. Whereas when you go up to the big club, in those 45 days, you are prorated at the minimum of an NBA player, which is much higher for those days. So you end up making a good bit more money in that two-way contract than you would in a typical G League deal. So that's why guys are doing it. It's probably not as much as you would make on the elite levels of European or Asian leagues, but it's more than G League / D League players were making in the past. It's still very much a work in progress. This is a system that is just new, and I would imagine there'll be some tweaks, but that's the situation. And Kobe Simmons is the Grizzlies' first two-way guy. Now, what does all this mean going forward? Well, right now the Grizzlies, assuming that they still, and there's been no indication otherwise, assuming that they still want to bring in Rade Zagorats, that brings the roster total to 13 players under contract for this coming year. That is Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Chandler Parsons, Brandon Wright, Troy Daniels, James Ennis, Wade Baldwin, Jarrell Martin, Andrew Harrison, Deontay Davis, Wayne Seldon, Ben McLemore, and Rade Zagorodz. Not mentioned in those 13 spots, Vince Carter, Jermichael Green, Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, Ivan Rabb, and Dylan Brooks. And there are only two roster spots left. It's 13 guys that I mentioned. Two spots left, six guys in theory that could be part of that. The two second-round picks, Rabb and Brooks. The deal with them is very much unknown. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with them. Because if you take Chris Wallace at his word, you know, we asked him about it draft night, and he said that Rabb and Brooks were not two-way guys, and the Grizzlies only have one two-way slot left anyway, but they're not two-way guys, and that they were not going to be strictly stashes in the G League the way that we saw Andrew Harrison, for example, spend a year under contract with the Iowa Energy. He, according to Wallace, at least, he said that was not part of the plan for Rabb and for Brooks, and so that means you got to do something with them. You have to put them on your main roster, or you can't just hold them in limbo. They've got to be under contract somewhere. So that you've only got two spots left right now. If you were to use them, that takes up those two spots. You have nothing left for anyone else. That's unlikely. So do you see Brooks or Rabb, one of them, take a stash deal? Maybe. Both? I doubt it. I don't think that was the intention, but the Grizzlies may find themselves in that spot just because of the way things will work out. As far as the money goes, those 13 players, if you look at it from just purely the guaranteed money standpoint, you're looking at close to $100 million with those slots still left to figure out with Zach Randolph, Jermichael Green, Tony Allen, and Vince Carter. And you still have the deals with Rabb and Brooks that you have to account for. Those are not huge deals, but they will account for some money on your cap. From Jermichael Green's standpoint, the market for restricted free agents so far has been pretty slow. Teams have not wanted to commit their money yet in those restricted free agent situations, but I would imagine that as we have seen some of the bigger deals come to fruition now, that will start to change. Brooklyn has always been my thought of a team that would throw pretty big money at Jermichael Green because they've got the space to do it, and they don't really have too many other ways to get youngish players. Now you can add Atlanta to the list of teams that would be very viable to go out and to try to make it happen with Jermichael Green, especially because they've lost Paul Millsap. Atlanta's cap sheet looks a lot different and a lot simpler now that you see no Millsap anywhere on the spot. So now they've got probably $30 million or so that they can use, and all it takes is one offer, and Jermichael's gone. The Grizzlies, just purely money-wise, right now, they are pretty, you're about $19 million away from that tax line, but there's still a lot more work left to do. There's a lot more administrative stuff left to do for the Grizzlies, and so, that's going to put them in a tough spot. If Jermichael Green gets a sizable offer in restricted free agency, it was always going to be a tough deal for them, but now you can see just how tough it's going to be. And I can't imagine they bring back Tony Allen at this point. Zach Randolph is an interesting one. I don't know what the market would be for Zach. The market's been pretty light for big men, and it's been kind of light overall, except for a few guys. The money is not flowing like it was last year. Last year is proving to be more and more of a one-off. We thought we might see something similar had that cap number stayed high the way that it was expected, but it's not. And teams are spending a lot of money. It's going to flatten out even more next year. A lot of teams are going to start flirting with that tax when they add these big contracts on. It's really, it's becoming a very risky type market right now because teams are reluctant to throw big money at some guys that would have gotten it last year. They're reluctant to put themselves in that position, which makes it tough for some of these fringe guys to get the contract that they probably would have thought. I still think at the end of the day, Jermichael gets a pretty sizable offer. I think Zach as well will get a good offer elsewhere. Where that is, I don't know. I think Tony Allen ends up somewhere else, as does Vince Carter. And yeah, I think one of Jermichael and Zebo could be back, but probably not both. It now makes sense to me, given what we know about the Western Conference, and I'll talk about that in a second. It kind of makes sense for the Grizzlies to continue to pivot and maximize what they've got, including the pick that they own this year. You know, if the Grizzlies miss the playoffs, at least they're going to keep that lottery pick that would result from that missing the playoffs, which is not something that they could say, you know, every year. That's a positive. You have to start looking at the positives. But roster-wise, the Grizzlies still need to figure out, you know, what they're going to do with some of these guys. They've just got too many just kind of guys. And I hate to say it, but I think McLemore fits that perfectly. I think he's just very much an kind of guy. Is he an upgrade over Troy Daniels? I mean, probably in some ways, sure. But certainly not shooting. Certainly not putting the ball in the hoop as a shooting guard. You know, James Ennis. What do you do with James Ennis now? You've got a lot of guys that theoretically can play in his position. You know, do you now look to move what is a pretty darn good deal? $3 million, you know, for what he brings you in this market? Come on, man. That's nothing. This is part of the reason why I really suggested trading Jarrell Martin, you know, earlier on. Now, Andrew Harrison, you know, these guys, do they have any value around the league? Could you move them to open up some of these roster spots? People always say, oh, you know, trade two guys, two for one, you open up a spot. I'm like, that's all fine in theory, but in execution, actually doing it, actually finding a way to get it done, much, much more difficult. And, you know, roster spots are at a premium for a lot of teams. So those deals are a little harder to make shake out, you know, especially when teams are going to start, you know, carrying. Teams already carried a bunch of guys last year anyway. It was a point where I think all the teams had the max on their roster. So I think you'll see more of that again. You know, so one way or the other, if the Grizzlies are going to bring back, you know, a couple of these free agents, you know, more than one, and they're going to, you know, do something with these second round picks other than just stash them, you know, they're going to have to start opening up some spots, trading guys. Brandon Wright still sitting out there, and I think very open and very viable as a trade guy soon enough. You know, I think some of these guys are the gluts of wings. You will see, you know, some of them, you know, getting moved in this process. So, you know, how does it shake out? I don't know. Well, you know, where does the dam burst? And what is the offer that Jermichael Green gets? I don't know. And really now the question becomes, you know, when you bring in McLemore and you bring back Seldon and whatever it is you're going to do, where does that actually put the Grizzlies in the scheme of things in an improved Western Conference? Golden State, the opportunities that they had to kind of show a few cracks in their armor, those are gone. Had Andre Iguodala maybe signed somewhere else, maybe that could have exposed a little problem in what Golden State was going to do, but he didn't. If Sean Livingston had gone somewhere else, maybe that affects the depth a little bit. He didn't. You know, Kevin Durant signing for a little bit less, taking that non-bird so that he can open up the opportunity for them to be able to you know, dip into and use all the opportunities that they have financially to re-sign their guys. And then Steph Curry signing with the expected $200-plus million extension. So really, you know, the Warriors, the opportunities that they had to mess up, they didn't. They're going to have to pay a lot of money, but they are in good position to continue to be on top for a long, long time. You look around the rest of the West, and while things don't look great for the Clippers because of what happened with Chris Paul. I thought the return they got on that trade, actually, if you look around the rest of the league at what guys like Jimmy Butler and Paul George were traded for, I thought the Clippers, with no leverage whatsoever, did phenomenally well for Chris Paul. I mean, all things considered. I'm not saying the Clippers are going to be, you know, very good, but you know, they at least got a respectable return out of a situation where they really didn't have any leverage at all. Hard to do. So they're going to be decent. They'll be around the fringes of the playoffs, I would imagine, with Blake re-signing. That's too much for Blake. But, you know, he at least keeps them in the frame of respectable between that and Beverly and Decker and whatever else they're going to do. They might bring in Gallinari. It could be, yeah, who knows. The Wolves clearly are going to be a problem for a lot of teams. And while I don't love every single signing they did, they've upgraded the talent tremendously, tremendously. Jimmy Butler, clear, huge upgrade for them. Jeff Teague, you know, maybe not the perfect fit, but a big talent upgrade for them. And then, you know, Taj Gibson, again, I think he's probably a little past his prime, but there's no question he's going to make them tough, and he's going to be an interesting pair with Karl-Anthony Towns. You would think that they are for sure a playoff team now. Have to be, right? Denver goes and gets Paul Millsap on a 3-year, $90 million deal, but that last year is not guaranteed, so really only gets $60 million of guaranteed money. Again, a good deal for Denver, and a sign that market is nowhere near what it was last year. Denver should be... Should be right there in that, you know, where they were this last year. They were competing for that eighth playoff spot for the majority of the year. I think they'll be right there again. Oklahoma City goes out and gets Paul George. And, you know, while that will be probably a challenge to fit together with Westbrook, there's no question that talent-wise, that's an enormous jump for them to have that as a secondary guy to go from, I don't know if you look at Oladipo, the secondary guy last year, to Paul George. Come on, man. And I've never been a big Oladipo fan. That was a horrible trade for Indiana. I have no idea what Kevin Pritchard was thinking. I can't imagine that the deal was simply to get him out of the Eastern Conference. I can't imagine that was – you can't be that dumb and be a general manager. You just can't, I wouldn't think. But from a Grizzlies perspective, the point is that the Thunder – continue to be very, very difficult to deal with, and you've got to respect what they do. Houston, obviously, with Chris Paul, that's serious. And then they've gone and gotten, you know, PJ Tucker to go along with what they already had in place. Nene comes back. I mean, they are really trying to bridge that gap that had established between them and Golden State, and they've to me made moves that start to do that. Don't know if they've done it. I still think there is a gap, but it is not significant, and they may have edged past Golden or San Antonio, rather, depending on what happens with the Spurs in the rest of free agency. Even New Orleans bringing back Jrue Holiday and you know, some of the things that they're trying to do, you would think that given a full season, Boogie, Anthony Davis, Holiday, those guys, that's going to be difficult to deal with. And maybe that gives them an opportunity to kind of sneak in there and compete for that eighth playoff spot. Portland is still going to be Portland. You know, of the teams in the West, the only one that is clearly just completely out of it is going to be Phoenix. Well, and the Lakers too, I suppose. But that's not a surprise. So Phoenix and the Lakers, but pretty much everybody else, as far as I can tell, is trying to compete. Am I missing anyone? Dallas, even. Maybe not trying super hard, but they've got enough to at least consider the possibility that that's going to be the case. And, you know, I think Dennis Smith was a great pickup for them in the draft. And so, yeah, this point being, all of that is to say that, you know, for the Grizzlies now is immense, and it gets bigger as you look around the rest of the West and you still see some teams with a lot of work left to do. And there's, you know, by no means are we done with free agency. This is very much the beginning to middle stages of it. The next milestone, I think, will be Gordon Hayward. He has a meeting with the Jazz today, and I would expect that he would make his decision soon enough. He met with the Heat and the Celtics over the weekend. You know, the West, it would just be nice to get some talent moved from the West to the East for the first time in forever, because it's right now it is all coming West. The West is incredibly difficult, and the East is incredibly easy. The balance is insane. And if you look at the bottom of the East, I don't know, 35 wins could make the playoffs for you next year. In the West, 45 wins might not make the playoffs if everybody is as tough and improved as they could be. The disparity between the two conferences is huge. It's crazy. It's crazy. So for that reason, if Hayward could just kind of make the jump over, and it makes sense for him, honestly, you know, as much as he must love the Jazz and what they've done and all this, you know, he's in a market that really is very loyal. He fits that market to a T. You know, they love their white players in Utah, and he's certainly white. So that is something else. But, I mean, really and truly, apart from all that loyalty and stuff, and I don't even mean to minimize, it's just it's something that you can't really quantify. But, man, look at the East. Wouldn't you want to go jump in over there? I mean, look at what you could do. You still got to get through LeBron, obviously, to get to the finals, but the road before that is much, much easier. Much, much easier. Even with the Raptors running it back, they'll be a good regular season team again. Yeah, all that's fine. But the East is still ridiculously easy compared to the West, and the talent is just crazy. Crazy. How much talent now is out West. It's just nuts. So, really, the Grizzlies, the next thing for them is going to be, you know, JaMychal Green, I would imagine. You know, what happens there? Does he get the offer sheet? Does, can the Grizzlies do something to re-sign him longer term without getting the offer sheet from somewhere else? You know, they probably could. It doesn't look like they're really interested in doing that. So that now remains to be seen as to how the rest of this free agent situation is concerned. Thank you for listening to Locked On Grizzlies. Thank you for checking out this first edition of Free Agency. There will be more as things arise. We figure out what happens with JaMychal Green, Zach Randolph, Vince Carter, Tony Allen, among others. As all that continues, we're going to be right here with you. We'll have special editions as needed throughout the offseason, and particularly now this week and next week. And as free agency continues, it has already been busy. It will continue to be busy, and we're going to be right here for you as we bring you Grizzlies coverage that you cannot get anywhere else. Big thank you to everyone for listening. Big thank you to all of our sponsors, in particular Outdoors Inc. Today on the pod, many thanks to them. And I will be back with you probably tomorrow, I would imagine, with more Locked On Grizzlies. Thanks so much for listening, guys.